Thank you. Good afternoon. Nice to see some of you here. I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking a little bit about program evaluation tools and some of the support we provided to the Tribal Motor Vehicle Injury Prevention Program. My colleague, Robert Guaterno, could not be here today, but I'm happy to share with you what we did in that work. Neither of us have any disclosures to report. I have three objectives for this session: to describe a little bit about the CDC-funded Tribal Motor Vehicle Injury Prevention Program, also called TMVIP, listing the program evaluation tools that we provided, and talk a little bit about how we assisted the tribes in being able to document their progress towards objectives. So I'm getting used to that. One of the reasons for the CDC to focus on tribal motor vehicle crashes, the disparity in the American Indian, Alaskan Native motor vehicle fatality rate. And you'll see on the slide from the five states listed, the fatality rates for American Indian, Alaskan Natives are range between 2.3 and 3.6, higher than the U.S. population. The other aspect to think about is that the seatbelt use on reservations ranges greatly from 36% up to 91%. Now you can see that strides have been made to increase seatbelt use, so at 73% in 2014, but that's still far below the 87% that is the U.S. rate overall. So that kind of sets up the reason for CDC to be interested in this work. So what is TMVIP? It's a four-year project. Tribes or tribal organizations were given $70,000 a year. They were able to hire a full-time coordinator with those funds. They also could use those funds to purchase child safety seats, or also to purchase media or other kinds of incentives that they felt would be appropriate for their program. Eight tribes or tribal organizations were funded. Five of those were located on reservations. Three of them had roads that were primarily state maintained. And you can see on that table on the right that we had three sites in South Dakota, two in Arizona, and the other states had one site each. Now, the sites needed to pit two of three evidence-based strategies to reduce motor vehicle crashes. Eight tribes decided to focus on seatbelt use, five focused on child safety seat, and five wanted to reduce driving under the influence. I also want to mention that the population of these tribes, the eight tribes, varied quite a bit from the target population, from 700 people all the way up to 29,000 individuals. So we had three tribes in the 700 to 5,000, and three tribes kind of 5,000 to 13,000, and then two tribes had greater than 13,000 as the target population for this project. The coordinators were given a tribal motor vehicle program manual. That manual was a great reference guide for them. It set out the goals and objectives for the program, some expectations. It also provided some resources for the program. One of the reasons that these eight tribes were able to have this manual is that CDC had funded a pilot project from 2004 to 2009, funding four tribes doing the same kind of work. Robert and I were involved with that project, and we were the ones who created the manual that guided the 2010-2014 cycle. Also, there was a decision made to kind of enhance the program evaluation for the 2010-2014 time period based on the pilot years, first assistance. So you'll notice on this slide that we top three aspects for the methods by which we were able to provide support to the sites is that we had monthly conference calls with the TMVIP coordinators. We did this in collaboration with the CDC project officer. We also conducted an annual site visit to each project to discuss their work. In the first couple of years, that site visit lasted about a day and a half. In the last couple of years, it was just a day site visit. And the third kind of major way of interaction with the coordinators was that we planned and conducted an annual face-to-face evaluation workshop where the sites brought anywhere from one to three to four individuals so that they could share what their challenges were and barriers. We could also introduce tools and kind of just brainstorm how things were going. That workshop lasted anywhere from a day and a half to two days. At the end of the project, we were responsible for looking through the annual work plans, project reports, the restraint use data, and some of the enforcement data that the tribes had submitted to CDC to create an overall report on the project. So I'm going to describe a little bit about the data collection tools that were provided to the sites. One of the first things for seatbelt use was an observational survey protocol. This laid out how they would select sites randomly to be sure to be balancing kind of low traffic sites with high traffic volume, because if anyone who's collected data know that, well, you may want to go to where you're going to see the most traffic, but that may bias your results. So we had already developed, with funding from the Indian Health Service, an observational survey protocol to be used by sites. There was also a data entry and summary file and an annual summary template that was provided. Similar tools were provided for child safety seat use, although the data collection guidelines were not as stringent as they were for the seatbelt use, partially because you've got to start with, well, where are you going to be able to see children? And mostly that data were collected at Head Start sites where they were doing interventions. And finally, we wanted to be able to document a process. What were they doing? And so a lot of the work had to do with enforcement. And so there were events of enhanced occupant restraint enforcement, DUI enforcement, and we had templates asking how long, how many officers were involved, how many cars stopped, how many citations were issued. And so these templates, we were asking the site coordinators to fill them out within that month of when those events were taking place. Similarly with distribution of child safety seats, what type of seat was given? Was it given as an individual one-on-one in a group session or because it was a checkpoint? And then use of media, we were documenting whether they paid for the media, if it was free media, and that kind of, and what kind of topics they were covering on that. There was also CDC was very interested in really understanding some of the enforcement data and outcome data related to motor vehicle crashes. What you see on the slide here is six required variables related to traffic safety. So we were interested in citations for seatbelt and car safety seat, as well as citations that would occur from DUI checkpoints and DUI arrests, as well as the number of checkpoints. And again, we were providing the site coordinators with a data entry file that allowed them to summarize their information on a quarterly basis, or on a monthly basis, and then it would roll up into an annual summary that could then be appended to their reports. So in terms of the motor vehicle crash data, there was one required variable, motor vehicle crashes total, with seven recommended variables. The first three there are just classifying those motor vehicle crashes. Well, did you have a fatality or an injury, or was there no injury or fatality involved? The other recommended variables that we were hoping they would be able to get, but it did prove problematic for several of the tribes, is whether the motor vehicle crash was alcohol involved or not, and then those same three breakdowns of whether there was a fatality or an injury. The other aspect was looking actually at the number of injuries and fatalities, and in this case there were two required variables and two recommended variables. Injuries and fatalities you can probably expect would be required, and then the alcohol involved variables were recommended. So in terms of work plans, again, we were interested in process. What was the implementation like that was happening? CDC project officer, as well as we, reviewed the work plans. We gave feedback back to ensure that the objectives were smart. In terms of, in general, what kind of work plans we were looking at, we were looking at their plans for enhanced law enforcement. Eight tribes were working on that, or DUI prevention, five tribes were working on that. We were also looking at their plans and helping them make decisions about how to be efficient in distribution of child safety seats. And there were six tribes that were focused on trying to improve traffic safety policies. Primarily that's thinking about the tribal law. Most of the sites were some of them were following state laws, but yet on the reservation, it was important for some of the coordinators to think about how could we actually step up our enforcement. And in some cases, the tribes passed a primary law when the state was a secondary enforcement law. Now, all eight tribes were working on education about traffic safety laws, and all eight tribes also did media campaigns. The coordinators needed to submit semi-annual progress reports. We provided a template that was tailored to each of their sites that motivated the coordinators, if you will, to actually give some report on each of their objectives and what they were doing to change policies. And then they were encouraged to append the templates that we had provided to their progress report. So in terms of starting to give some results here, we were quite pleased with the way the sites followed the protocols, particularly for the seatbelt use. And you can see on the left-hand side that even for our smaller tribes, there was quite a significant number of observations that were made, ranging from the smaller tribes from 500 to 850, and then for the larger sites, average kind of 4,500 observations for seatbelt use. On the right-hand side of the screen, you can see that observations for child safety seat was a little bit more challenging for some of the sites. There were five sites that were supposed to be collecting that data every year, and for some sites, it became challenging for them to collect. And you'll also notice that the numbers were a little bit smaller for the seatbelt for the child safety seat use. In terms of results here, all eight projects found an increase in seatbelt use from 2 to 175%. This table divides those eight tribes into whether they are reservation-based or not, and also looks at their baseline use rate. So the top three rows are non-reservation sites, and the next three rows are reservation-based projects that had a baseline of between 30 and 45%, and then the bottom two rows had a low baseline, they were reservation and a low baseline of 20 to 10%. So those reservation-based sites that started the lowest, they had the greatest increase. You can see 139 to 175%. Those reservation-based tribes that started between 30 and 55% also increased. Two of those sites made their, one of those sites made their objectives, but two did not. And then you'll notice that these non-reservation-based sites, they had the highest baseline rate of 75%, and only one of them achieved their objective. For car safety seat, all five tribes increased their rate from 6 to 40%. And you'll see that some of the data was problematic that wasn't being able to be collected, but we were pleased that at least we were seeing, for most of the tribes, over 30% increase in car safety seat use. So additional work around driving under the influence, two projects did reduce that between 23 and 65%, reducing injuries and reducing fatalities, alcohol-related fatalities, between 44 and 86%. One site had a focus on increasing DUI arrests, and they did that by 19%. We had six projects focused on making a policy-level change. This proved to be probably the most challenging thing that the sites were doing. Not surprising, really. It's just as challenging to get tribal policies passed as it is in our democratic system, our federal or state. So only three projects were able to pass those new seatbelt laws. And then in terms of five projects sought to change child safety use, three were successful in doing so. One project sought to change laws regarding DUI, and three projects were sought to do that, and one was successful in doing that. So in summary, we believe that our assistance in being very clear in the beginning with the manual, providing some tools, having the face-to-face annual conference, doing the site visit was all very helpful in having the coordinator really understand how could they collect their data and how's a way that they can store it and be able to consistently look across what these tribes were doing. This program has officially ended at CDC, but the CDC in the past year, we have worked with the project officer on developing a best practices manual for tribal motor vehicle safety prevention, and I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be released because it has to go through CDC review, but I would suspect by the end of the year or early next year that this best practices manual will be released. Thank you for your attention. Be happy to answer any questions. Sure. Yes. Several of the tribes had either they had already developed good relationships with the local sheriff and or the state police, or they developed some of those relationships. Now they weren't always great, but it wasn't just tribal police.
So they provided assistance to those enforcement.
Yes, they did. Okay. Yes, they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, good question. Well, in terms of a lot of the campaign was about either pregnant women or folks with children to come in and actually get a car seat and get sized up and taught how to put it in. So there was that. On the checks, on a car seat check, they would come in and they would, if anybody had a car seat, they kind of turn them around to then make sure that it was in correctly. If it was incorrect, or they would fix it, that kind of thing. Or if they didn't have a car seat, they were given a ticket, but they were also given a car seat. In terms of the observations, though, it was just an observation. It was not, they were standing there and looking, but did not see if it was correct use.
I know that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to do. Yeah, and as you could tell, it was a lot more challenging to get the coordinators to do as good a job collecting child safety seat use compared to seatbelt use restraints. You could see that by the numbers. Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. The emphasis here was not particularly on booster seats, even though they did distribute booster seats if that was the seat that was needed. In general, the tribes were giving convertible seats so that they didn't need to change. It was easier for them just to stock one type. And primarily for their child, a lot of their intervention was focused on the Head Starts, either through parent interventions and that kind of work. So it made sense to focus there for the observations.
One more?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I know that the Indian Health Service, while the CDC program here has ended, and Nancy Bill is in the audience, and she is actually head of the Injury Prevention Program for the Indian Health Service, and they continue to fund tribes directly across the country for that work. When I started doing some of this work in the late 90s, early 2000s, we estimated through the data collection that we did that use was about 55%. So if you think about that, well, you know, so in 15 years we've come up to 73%. I think there's a lot of hope that there's a shift coming and that the tribes are just a little bit behind the rest in the United States. I mean, when we think it was 1983 about that we were, as a nation, at 11%. And so I think, again, it's just a little bit of a time lag. So I think the work that's going on there has been really positive. Thanks for your attention.